I think we're live. We got some spotty internet down here at Bitcoin Beach, but we are live from El Salvador. This is Optimus Fields at My Living Truth, and you are back for another episode of Bitcoin Kindergarten. We're at block height 735,998, and the Moscow time, or sats per dollar, is 3,349 sats per dollar.
Wow. Beautiful.
Amazing. Amazing. Cheers. All right. All right. Well, Weinikus didn't prepare the ad reads, but he's going to do some ad reads.
Yeah. Optimus is seeing this real time that we don't plan our ad reads. So whatever gobbledygook comes out of my mouth is whatever the ad read is. So today's episode is sponsored. We have two sponsors. The first is Simply Bitcoin. Simply Bitcoin might be oh my god, I can't even go through this without cracking up. Might be the best YouTube show of all time. All right, we gotta we'll do the ad reads later.
Oh my god. All right, this is gonna be a good show. Let's go.
Basically we're sponsored by Simply Bitcoin. Watch them on YouTube,
go follow them,
and open source memes where you could go and sponsor Memer at opensourcememes.com.
Amazing. Amazing. All right. Well, guys, without further ado, we got John Malice in here. I don't know if John needs an introduction, but I'll give him one. He runs, in my opinion, one of the coolest podcasts. Actually, didn't you start another one? I'm still on Rapid Bitcoin time, but John,
yeah,
welcome, dude. It's an honor. I'm really hyped for you to come. You are one of the first, I think you're the second Bitcoiner that I was on for their podcast. And dude, I just want to thank you for that opportunity, because I'm going to say low key that you kind of changed my life, bro, just for having that conversation and everything it's opened up since then. So John, thank you, bro. It's an honor to have you here.
Well, dude,
how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. That means a lot to me, for real. And I, as you were saying that, my response was going to be, I still remember that conversation fondly. That was a fucking great rip. And, you know, so I appreciate you coming on that time and coming on the show for a chat. And I'm good, man. Life is good. You know, Bitcoin selling off, cheaper sats, world melting, but, you know, in my lane, nourish, moisturize the meme. And I had a 3-hour cosmic rip with Gigi earlier today, actually. So my brain, we were actually, Gigi was one of the first to come on the show in like the fall of 2019. And this was the most recent one we've done since. So my brain is a little bit mush. And the other pod that you were referring to was, I work with the CT, like a Norwegian Bitcoin company. And Gigi works with me there. And so we're doing a podcast for them as well and messing around with some podcasting 2.0 stuff. So yeah, let's do it. Glad to be here.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, I heard the GG rip. I haven't heard it yet, but I heard you did one, and I'm like, okay. Anything GG does, it's a must listen. Anything John and GG does is probably going to be a must listen, like times two.
Yeah, so, GG's the man. I love him to death.
Yeah, agreed. Well, John, you kind of touched on one of the questions that we had over here, and since this is the time that the price is dumping, how about we just start with John? Let's give some advice to the noobs that are worried about the price. Let's get their minds straight before we get cosmic. So what's your thoughts on this price dump, bro?
I mean, it's a fucking opportunity, right? If you came in the last year, you've been subject to these, you know, crazy all-time high prices, and you've had to stack at like, yeah, I mean, you haven't been had many great opportunities to stack, and these sell-offs are, you know, your kind of generational or cycle opportunities that won't come again, you know? So I don't know how low it's going to go. I think like many of us, I hope it goes lower so I can stack more. And, you know, the more it crashes down, the harder it's going to rip the next time it does so. And so I would just say, you know, don't worry, stay humble, stack sats, and all will be well. Don't get involved in shit coins and leverage and all that kind of stuff. Stack sats, custody it yourself, put it in cold storage, and, you know, enter that wormhole to the hyper Bitcoinized world, because it's right there. I mean, that's the trippy thing. Like, we always talk about like what the transition is going to look like when the current financial system really has its moment, assuming it does. But and like we talk about hyper-Bitcoinization as like something far off in the future, but for many of us here, it's already there, right? Like we eat, sleep, and breathe Bitcoin, and we stack Bitcoin, and so we're securing our future in that way. We interact with other people. We interact with other people who see it the same way. Like, you know, many of us were all just at the conference. Like, those vibes are the hyper-Bitcoinization vibes. It's just, you know, the future is here. It's just not evenly distributed. So you can right now step through that wormhole into hyper-Bitcoinization if you choose, or you can stay in shitty fiat land where, you know, things are going to get worse and worse and life will become more and more expensive and anxiety and despair and all that kind of stuff will be jacked up. Or you can step in to this world. And I think the answer is a no-brainer.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on the fact that you said you're happy that the price is going down. Like, what kind of sickos are we that we applaud the price of going down and our potential purchasing power in the short term not being as strong? So shouts out to all the psychopaths that are happy about the dips. I know I'm definitely one of them.
Yeah, totally. It's almost like, you know, like in a fight, you know, like the quintessential, like, you know, you get punched in the face and you just like spit your tooth out and smile. Like there's something like you embrace the carnage of all this because, you know, it's part of the game. And at the end of the day, one Bitcoin, it still equals one Bitcoin. And, you know, we're not really good Bitcoiners if we're judging everything by the fiat price, right? So I love how we all take like some sort of sick, twisted pleasure in the carnage because we know like the riffraff is being burned off and the truth will remain after that process happens. And the next level up, the next, you know, platform or foundation will be that much more secure and on we go. I mean, it's rinse and repeat, really.
Yeah, man, super bullish. And you're segueing perfectly into these questions. I don't even have to work on them, bro, because you're already talking what we love to call over here at Bitcoin Kindergarten, finding Bitcoin Zen. And what you love to talk about on your podcast all the time is the mental paradigm shift that happens when you start to understand Bitcoin. So this is getting cosmic. And this, I can only speak of this with you from personal experience. Before Bitcoin, my life was a mess. And now after Bitcoin, my life is it's almost like a dream. Like me and Weinekes were talking about it this morning. Like we're in El Salvador right now at Bitcoin Beach because we like the same money. Like it's mind blowing, guys. Like we like the same money and now we're over here in El Salvador and I never thought that would happen. So guys, it's truly mind blowing how holding the best money in the world changes your view on reality and the nature of what is going to happen into the future and how optimistic you can get by just holding the best money. It's absolutely mind blowing. And me and Weinekes over here, first time in the stew, and it's just because we like the same money, guys. Like that thought never gets lost on me. We like the same money and we're here now.
Well, you know, and the country we're in likes the money that we like. So,
but you know what, like if you undress it a little bit, like the money has imbued into it certain values. Right. And so I would say that with Bitcoin, a lot of us would probably agree that two very obvious values and perhaps like the highest values would be truth and freedom. And you like that money because it has those qualities and it holds up and it sanctifies, in a sense, those values. And so it's like we're not, yes, we're all here and we're all jiving and we're all like homies because we like the same money. But really, it's because we're aligning on along the same values. And that's kind of always the thing that generates, you know, unity and cohesiveness between people. It's like if you can align on the most important values, then all the other like insignificant differences between you don't really play. They don't cause any friction between people because you're aligned on the more important things. And so I think that's what's happening here. Like we're all aligning on a certain set of values that are represented in this thing. And this very mechanism, which is Bitcoin, allows us to communicate those values and engage those values more so than perhaps ever before. Are we still here?
Yeah, we're okay. Still here, bro.
Phone was doing something weird. And so, like, I think, and that's why when we get together, you know, we go to a conference, you hang out in El Salvador, you meet a bunch of Bitcoiners, and it's like, it is like family. I mean, that was my feeling in Miami just like last month or whatever. Like, even people I've never met before. And like, Optimus, when we had our first chat, like, those were the vibes, right? And I think it's because we've already like recognized that we're lining up on what we deem to be the most important values, which are more represented in this thing that is Bitcoin than anywhere else, perhaps in our life and our world. And so the rest is just, you know, the rest is insignificant and or just gravy. And so when we say like, we're all here because we value truth and freedom and, you know, fairness and these extremely high ideals, principles or values. And they just so happen to be represented in the highest form in money. And that's great because, you know, it helps propagate it and communicate it more than just simply an idea, let's say, because, you know, this whole notion of aligning on the highest values is also what, at least partially, and I don't want to offend anybody, but partially what religion is predicated on, right? But this, in this form, it's far more material or sticky or real in the sense that it's actually something that you can engage with beyond just simply an idea.
Whew. That was some heat right there. Cause I've been having these same conversations. I had this one with Skeef, and I know there's the idea going around Bitcoin Twitter lately of like the verified plebs and the importance of the network that we're building because of the proof of work we put in with our reputation and you know, the amount of work you put in to get to this level. And it's amazing to me that, you know, how much easier it is to communicate with Bitcoiners because you fundamentally like bypass the small talk stage. You're like, you don't have to get to know someone. You pretty much already know where they're from, and you can just kind of like leap off from the deep end and, you know, either start joking in ways that you never could, or just talking about things that you never could with other people. And so I fully agree. There is a strange sense of, I don't know, family. I don't know if community is the right word, but it's like
cohesion. It's the camaraderie of soldiers.
It's like mental cohesion, guys. We as much as we hate the thought, like Bitcoiners are like a hive mind, guys. And once you tap in, we all get the same signal from like direct source. You don't need a third party.
Well, you know, I mean, maybe that's a good way to frame it because, again, like, our values are what most orients our perspective, and that is what most orients the choices we make and the behavior that we engage in out in the world, right? It's that value framework that dictates that. And so to the extent that we share certain values or principles at the top of that hierarchy of values internally, then we are kind of sharing a perspective which is eliciting similar behaviors out in the world. And of course, when we interact or get the chance to interact with one another, we're simply recognizing that. We're like, oh, you're seeing through a very similar lens to the one I'm seeing through, and it's inspiring very similar behavior to the behavior that I'm, you know, engaging in or desire or aspire to engage in. So it is very much like sharing a consciousness in that sense.
Beautiful. Well done. Kind of a segue, but still on the same topic. Is Bitcoin a religion or a cult, in your opinion, John?
Could you tell me what the difference is before I answer?
Honestly, I don't know. I was hoping you'd tell me because I like calling it cult, but there's a certain amount of, I don't know, like divinity that I see in Bitcoin, which makes me feel like it's a religion. And the fact that religions have tax exemptions, I'm like, frame it in religion. And furthermore, I honestly, like, this is a new thing for me, but I know I'm not the only one. But recently I've kind of had this like more acceptance with my beliefs in God and my beliefs in greater powers. So I think it's a religion, but I don't know. I've had talks with Pobo. He's in the chat, and his dad, and they were telling me that I might be a little sacrilegious because I think Bitcoin is divine, but Hobo's with me. So we'll see.
Bitcoin is God-given.
Yeah, well, I think between, you know, the cult and the religion thing, if cults are framed as like, you know, this dangerous thing that people get wrapped up and then all drink the Kool-Aid and kill themselves, then no, it's not one of those types of cults. But cults insofar as they may be like basically a religion, but not the dominant one, right? Like Christianity was a type of cult prior to its acceptance as the dominant religion, like within the Roman Empire, let's say. Then potentially. And, you know, I've been having a lot of these conversations lately on the podcast to try to dig into this, because as you say, like so many people are when we explore the domain of value and meaning, and we explore Bitcoin and we explore these other philosophical or theological arenas, we seem to be swimming in a very similar area. And so I think we're all trying to determine what are the most valid connections to be making between them all. And, you know, I think the way I frame it, and again, like I've actually spoken to a number of people that ascribe to a particular, let's say, traditional faith, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for people who do. And I also think that modern culture has done itself a disservice by just, you know, willy-nilly dismissing those people and those ideas, you know, basically by just saying, what a silly thing to believe that there's a man in the sky, and then dismissing, you know, 2000 plus years of, you know, very valuable insight and pursuit into understanding what it means to be a human being in this reality. You know, they've done a lot of really good work in that domain. And I think broadly speaking, you could say that the enterprise of religion is trying to determine, like, what is the best way to constitute or orient, like, what is the most valid perspective for a human being to have in this reality? And you might say it is like aligning to or subordinating oneself to the notion of God, or, you know, whatever it might be. But I think the way I've been framing it for myself is that, like we said before, I think the thing that you hold up as the highest value is what's going to orient your behavior. It's what's going to be at the top of your value hierarchy, and that will dictate how you behave. So it's like, it's almost like whatever you hold as the highest value is like your personal God, in that it's the thing that you're most sacrificing your limited resources to, your time and your energy and the opportunity cost of pursuing anything else. But maybe like capital G God is the thing that's most validly sacrificed to, right? It's the most valid value to have at the top of your hierarchy that orients your perspective and dictates your behavior. And, you know, I think Bitcoin, at the very least, in our attempts to understand it, is helping us understand those, the mechanics of value that unfold internally. And it may also be the case that due to it being a representation of the perhaps most pure or incorruptible form of truth that we've ever had access to or that we've ever engaged with, and by virtue of that is permitting access to a type of freedom or liberation that perhaps we've never had access to, at least in the interpersonal realm, by virtue of those things and how valuable those things are both to us personally and how much market value it's accruing as a result of being those things. Well, then I think it's rational to explore what it means, like what the value of those ideals or principles are, whether they be represented in something like Bitcoin, in something like the archetypal hero, in something like Christ, in something like any of the other, you know, manifestations or representations of that idea. And that, to me, that idea is those fundamental parameters that most constitute, you know, the reality that we experience made flesh, right? The word made flesh. So this is obviously, you know, a biblical notion. But in Bitcoin, I think we have those same values and principles, like those most fundamental values and principles that somehow in a manner that we don't fully understand, constitute like the topography of the landscape, like the invisible landscape that we engage with as human beings in reality, right? Beyond, of course, just simply the physical and material. Somehow those things are also quote unquote made flesh in Bitcoin. And so, you know, I obviously don't have any answers in that domain, but I think it's, and of course it's batshit crazy. Like to those people that are just dropping in, like, hey, I'm going to listen to some Bitcoin stuff on a Wednesday night. Like that shit is insane. But to those of us who have been here for a while and are trying to understand this thing, I think it's not so insane. I think we at least are open to that type of a conversation to try to ask ourselves, like, why is this thing so meaningful to us? Why is it inspiring such profound change on an individual level? Why is it causing this reorientation of values in my life? Why am I ascribing so much value to it? Like, those are very fundamental things that it's changes that it's causing within people. And I think it's a very valid pursuit to try to understand why. And again, when I've tried to do that, I wind up in territory of meaning and value and truth that is, that uses similar language and that evokes similar sentiments and actions as the religious and the philosophical and the theological domains that have, you know, come before Bitcoin, let's say.
Hey, can I interject?
Sure.
So us humans, we're forced on this planet to align with a whole bunch of first principles. I like to just point out gravity is the most obvious one. And you can argue all day, ignore it if you want, but it's still going to act on you.
Yeah.
And so there are a lot of things like that. And I would categorize Bitcoin and the concept of money actually as a first principle that was designed by humans. We sort of uncovered the concept of the ability to store our labor in an object first, and now in the digital realm. But what we found was that this was a really good thing that we could do with our value, with our time. Essentially, what puts us together on this is that the total value of Bitcoin on the planet right now, however you want to value it, is the culmination of a whole bunch of people's time. And we recognize that it can't be debased and stolen from us in any way. And that's what unites us. This is a first principle idea, this thing called money. And we now have the best form of it. And the people that are seeing that are recognizing that, holy crap, I have to align with this. Because I only have to align with money as a first principle if I want to get along on this planet. I have to align with that concept and I have to work with a thing called money because the rest of the world does. It's that network effect, right? Now there's this new form. And those of us who see it recognize it as the best one that we can't get screwed out of our time anymore. The fact that it fluctuates relative to a dollar is irrelevant. How many sats I got is all I care about. How much percentage of the network? And so as it grows, what you're seeing is the addition of the value, the wealth, the labor of millions and millions of other people joining the network and putting their value in with us. We are one big freaking family on this thing. And I hope everybody gets along and makes it work.
Yeah, I mean, I very much agree with that. And, you know, the point you made about gravity and that, like, it's going to be there whether or not we accept it, and it's a force that acts on, let's say, the material world. That's kind of, you know, what I was trying to get at in the former rant is, like, it, I think, you know, philosophy and metaphysics and religion is kind of making the assertion that there are forces that act upon us that act upon, let's, you know, to put it simply or plainly, our consciousness rather than the material world. And there seem to be, or there may be, forces in that are eternal there, like that they're real. They're not just made up. And it seems to me that the notion of truth, and I understand that's a really hard one to nail down, but somewhere in there is the notion of truth is one that is literally one of those forces that acts upon us in a very fundamental way. And when we have a mechanism for propagating the most truthful information or messages that we've ever had, to me, it's not surprising that that thing would accrue so much value by virtue of it being so fundamental to the conscious, let's say, world that we interact with. Just like recognizing gravity and conforming to it, i.e., you know, building the, you know, achieving our aims by recognizing it and building our knowledge of it into the things we want to do, so that we can conform our will around that, i.e. we can build things that recognize that it's a real force and we have to account for it. I think it's like somewhat of a similar thing going on. It's just in a different domain with a different substrate, right? Rather than it's the matter and material, it's in the domain of consciousness, which is way harder to nail down. It's way harder to identify, you know, the parameters that exist there. But I do feel that's been part of the religious and metaphysical and spiritual and philosophical enterprise.
Hey, John, I'd like to ask you something about that regarding, so like, I think of what you're describing as first principle. So something like honesty or trust or trustworthiness, these are like constructs. These are values that humans have recognized that when we find them, we can work, life gets better. We can, you know, things work out. It's like aligning with gravity. Again, you know, when you align with these natural principles, so like, that's not a physical thing, but it is this thing. It's out there and we all react around it. We all act to it. It all acts on us, you know? And I just wonder, is Bitcoin helping to align truth and trustworthiness? And I mean, it feels like those things are allowing us like to lean in that direction on Bitcoin too, right? Instead of trusting it, the truth of other people or whatever, you know, I don't know. I don't know how you extrapolate that into personal action, one person to another. You know, we have to interact. You know, we get together. You guys started off talking about this. You meet, you feel like family, even if you just met. And I feel like it's this ideological alignment around this truth mechanism that we have. But like, is it really going to affect the way we act? It feels like it does to me. John, I'd love to hear your feelings on like, is it really translating into physical actions where people are improving who they are and we're getting a better world, starting with the Bitcoin community?
I mean, that certainly seems to be my impression. I mean, I alluded to it a few minutes ago, but, and you know, the reasons are there's multiple reasons, right? Like someone already mentioned, like the time preference piece and knowing that your ability to express your will in a market will outlast you for that long or will be available to you for so long. And then, as you said, like that visceral value that we ascribe to truth and honesty. And again, like who knows where that comes from, but the fact that it exists and it's so common and it's so reliable, like it has to say something about it's how we evolved and it speaks to the environment in which we evolved. And to see it so represented in a mechanism out in the quote unquote material world and to be able to engage in that mechanism in order to communicate truthfully and, you know, express ourselves and push our will out into the world in the way that Bitcoin allows for. I mean, the proof is always in the pudding, right? And as far as I can tell, and I know like I self-select by speaking to people that have noticed or felt the same thing, but I mean, Bitcoin seems to me to be extremely transformative for a lot of people. Like, I mean, Optimus opened the show by saying that, right? Like, you know, he was despondent and, you know, not doing great beforehand. And then you start going down the rabbit hole and you learn about what Bitcoin represents and you can see, you begin to see the role of money in society and culture. Then you begin to see the problems. Then you begin to see how Bitcoin could resolve them. Then you begin to see what it is in terms of the attributes inherent in Bitcoin that allow it to be what it is in that, you know, and as a result of that, resolve those problems. And I think, you know, a part of it, and again, I think there's many parts and we could probably talk for hours about what all of them are, but a part of that is like, you look at this thing and it's incredibly, you see it as being incredibly useful at solving that problem. And the market is saying that you're right in that assumption. It's being quote unquote, very successful in the market. And you wonder, okay, well, what values most characterize this thing? And again, I think we come back to truth being one of the big ones and freedom being another one. And we say, okay, like those values, they're probably applicable across substrates, let's say, you know, not just in Bitcoin, but if truth and freedom really are allowing that thing to be successful, then surely it'll have, you know, it'll be applied successfully in other domains. And so, you know, that's kind of just a very narrow way of saying, I think part of the transformative thing is like, we look at what animates Bitcoin or what allows it to do what it does. And it's somewhat like instructive in how we orient ourselves. We say like, well, you know, and this is going to sound kind of retarded, but it's like, how can I be more like Bitcoin, right? How can I be more truthful in my action, words and actions? How can I be more honest? right? How can I seek greater freedom and liberation for myself and for others? You know, and so yes is the answer. And it's remarkable to me. I mean, this is part of the reason why people ask that question, like, is Bitcoin a religion? Because people are being so transformed, or if you want to use the term upgraded, by their pursuit of a greater and greater understanding of this thing. And it's realizing tremendously positive benefits in their life, positive benefits regarding their health, regarding their relationships, their conceptions of the future, their hope for the future, the work that they engage with, the people that they spend the most time with. And that is like, there's nothing better than that, right? Like going through life, and because you have such a hopeful notion of the future, it sensitizes your here and now. Because once you're enthusiastic about that future, once you want to engage in it more rather than disengage from it, then everything in your world comes alive. There's a vibrance comes to your life because it's all potentially useful information to move you more expediently towards that future that you're imagining. And then, you know, again, it's additive to mix it up with so many other people who are sharing that perspective, who are seeing things very similarly, you know. And so part of that is having spaces like this where you all just kind of go like, are you guys seeing it too? Like, holy fuck. Like, you know, we do that a bunch. But then it's also like, how can we learn from each other? How can we refine our characters together? How can we move toward these aims and these ends that we have, you know, imagined and we think are now possible? And so all of those different criteria or domains come together to, in many cases, radically transform lives. Like, everyone's starting from a different place. Like, maybe a lot of people had a lot of that in their life already, but I've yet to meet someone who's gone down the rabbit hole and hasn't been at least somewhat transformed by how Bitcoin changes their perspective, basically about the potential of what we as individuals and we as societies and the world at large and humanity as a species can be and can accomplish and, you know, can become. And it's so fucking beautiful. Like, that's why we're all here all the time and we're obsessed with it, right?
Agreed, John. Man, literally, like, inject that straight into my brain. I need to hear that every single day. That's like the most poetic, beautiful things you could hear for Bitcoin. Definitely hit the horn. All right, John. Motherfucking boss. Let's go, dude. I love it. I couldn't agree more. But the one question me and Weinekes have over here is, look at all of us. We've all been down the rabbit hole. We've all put in crazy hours to understand this. And the question is, like, can we expect the newbies coming in to get on board the same way we have? And the question would be, do you think that to understand Bitcoin, for lack of better terms, there can be like an immaculate understanding of Bitcoin? Or do you have to put in the work and, you know, Bitcoin, quote unquote, is for the few in that sense?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think, you know, the easy answer is that there's always going to be people that are more inquisitive than others, right? And so those people are going to delve more deeply into the things that they find meaningful. And so that may characterize, you know, us early cohort of Bitcoiners. But what I'm encouraged by, and so I guess the easy answer is no, maybe not everyone's going to be as retarded as we are. But I think what's encouraging is that by virtue of the fact that the signals that everyone in a hyper-Bitcoinized world will be receiving, you see, because money is a means of communicating our values, right? It's an emblem. We use it to represent ourselves in the market, and our actions and the values that are embedded in our actions are represented implicitly in the actions taken, which the money fosters, let's say. And so what I see happening is that, and right now, I mean, maybe we can even give like the stereotypical normie a break and say, even though so many of us look out on the world today and we're like, oh my God, like, people are so stupid and everything is so fucked. And like, man, you know, what we always say about people, but like, so much of that is just they've been receiving these horrible, false, perverted signals for so long. And, you know, what are you going to do but respond to the signals that you're given, both in the sense of like your familial and your cultural conditioning, but also the signals out in the market. Like, when the market is so corrupted and misdirected, and someone is able to step in and pollute the messaging and the values that are being communicated through action in the market by manipulating the mechanism that is money, well, you're not going to get a very high fidelity signal of the values that are attempting to be expressed in action. And what I'm excited by is that in a hyper Bitcoinized world, you know, we're obviously none of us are perfect, right? But we will be able to, our actions and the way that we express them in the market through money, they will be a reflection of the values that we hold in our hearts and minds as individuals, and then we'll discover them collectively. And I think that's how we get to learn about ourselves. That's how we get to really have the market be used as a mechanism for not just facilitating exchange and all that kind of stuff, but also for being a mechanism for determining what it is we should be aiming for, right? Because that'll become clear in the market as people are acting and their values and their what they're aiming for are able to be expressed with full fidelity. And it becomes clear. And then all those market signals become, you know, pristine. And all those normies who don't give a fuck about monetary history, philosophy, religion, whatever, they'll still be responding to those signals. And of course, the incentives that those signals generate. And so what I see in that market happening is that all these things we've been talking about, like truth and sovereignty and freedom and honesty and fairness, which are built into the signals that are going to be propagated around the market, will serve to upregulate those things in people's behaviors and will downregulate or will exclude unfairness and dishonesty and control and perversion in the money that we currently have. And so people will be more and more a product of those very values that are contained in the money and that are expressed by the people who are using that money. And so again, I mean, it's not a utopia, but I don't think people will be able to avoid being influenced by the qualities that constitute the money, which is Bitcoin, and then how it permits us to express the highest values that we hold internally as individuals.
Whew, beautiful, beautiful. You gave me an image in my head of like a bunch of like water, natural pools that are dirty, and then you break like the passageway and the water flows into the other pools and it starts making the water clear. And that's the image, the mental image I had. That's a good
visual.
Talking.
That's a good visual.
It's like, you know, exactly. Like fiat system has muddied the whole system so much and ruined the way we value everything. And Bitcoin just clears that channel and thus, by extension, the mental fog that comes with the fiat system.
Yeah.
Beautiful
exactly,
stuff, John.
Exactly.
Hey, John, I noticed that you used the word retarded, but on this channel, we like to say regarded. So we're all very highly regarded individuals.
I see. My apologies.
So that's a Bitcoin kindergarten term that has been coined and has been spreading like rapid fire.
I got it. I like it.
No pun intended.
We're trying to save your Twitter account, John.
But we had this idea that we were spitting off today, and it was like, what is the fastest path to hyper Bitcoinization? We were thinking like, what if everyone just took mushrooms or was like
at the same exact time
or like on some
and
other.
And we played John Ballas with GG podcast.
Or like, I don't know if you, what ideas do you have to like boost up the process of hyper Bitcoinization and like onboarding people?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that the former one, because I remember like before Bitcoin, if you were like despondent about the world and you're like, fuck, how does this get turned around? Anyone who was into psychedelics, and I think, you know, even Rogan made several jokes about this at the time, was like, you just need to shove like 10 grams of mushrooms down like all the world leaders' throats. And like, then maybe we have a chance at turning things around. Right. But no, I mean, my cheesy, but it is the answer that I think is the most truthful and, likely to be the best one, is that we all just have to, we have to integrate Bitcoin into our lives to the maximum extent possible. And I think we have to attempt to refine ourselves and become, you know, again, this is the cheesy part, but the best versions of ourselves, you know, the most honest, the most clear thinking, the most oriented towards what's most valuable and meaningful in our lives and the lives of others. And we basically have to show the validity of this tool. And the benefit of that is by doing that, we maximally optimize and benefit our own lives, And we also get to show the validity of this thing to other people, because, and actually psychedelics is a pretty good corollary or analogy, because pre-Bitcoin, you know, I would come down off the mountain basically and be, you know, at a party and be talking out the benefits of psychedelics, and like nobody ever listens to the crazy ranting person, really, you know. But people always, you know, everyone's insecure and everyone's a peeping Tom, and they're looking at their neighbor and they're looking at their classmate and they're looking at their friends and being like, man, why the fuck, you know, why are they so fill in the blank, fit, successful, wealthy, strong, popular, whatever. And because we want that, we're envious, you know, of people. And so I think the game plan is discover, you know, try to actualize your potential, your highest potential. And that will be the strongest example and display of the validity of the things that you're doing for everyone who's observing you. And they will, absent any direct, you know, persuasive messaging from your mouth, they will want to investigate what it is that allows you to do that all on their own. And I think that will lead them to find Bitcoin and whatever else you're doing that's allowing you to live the, you know, the most meaningful life possible.
Yeah, John, I agree. I rack my brain over the best way to orange pill someone. Like, do I just meme them? Do I hit them with logic? Do I just, you know, just be as absurd as possible? But I'm coming to the realization that the best way to orange pill people is literally by just being the living example of what it means to be an awesome person. And that means being a Bitcoiner. That means being a toxic maximalist. That means having conviction and seeing the problems in the world and doing something about it instead of just like digging your head in the sand and saying, oh, there's nothing we can do about it. It's like, guys, yes, there is. It's Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I totally agree. And like, I think a very pragmatic aspect of that is like, which Bitcoiners exemplify to the extreme, as far as I can tell, is just be honest. You know, being honest is like half the battle. And there's something like metaphysical there too, because honesty is basically like truth in action. And if truth is what is, then the greater clarity that you can perceive truth with, like the higher fidelity your map for the territory of reality becomes, then the more able you will be to move through it toward the aim that you have set for yourself. And by virtue of that, the more likely it is that you're going to be successful in the terms that you define that. And again, like, that's why people want to emulate it, because they'll see that you're being successful at the things that you're pursuing, and they'll want to know why. And honesty and truthfulness are essential elements of acting in that way and pursuing that approach.
Beautiful, John. I have one more there you go. Wanika's cut me off in the studio. Twice. Okay. So let me see. I'm on a segue a little bit, because you've been getting very cosmic, super Bitcoin oriented. I got a couple questions and I'll open up for people that want to ask questions. But man, you've been hitting us with the pure Bitcoin signal right now. You got me mad cosmic, mad optimistic, mad regarded. But on a little segue, what excites you the most outside of Bitcoin, John? That's going to interest me right now.
I mean, first of all, just
or just Bitcoin excites you, because that's kind of where I'm at.
Well, I mean, just a comment on what you said. Like, I don't like. I know we use the term cosmic kind of like playfully and stuff, but it really is just attempting to see with the utmost clarity and call it like you see it, right? The whole honesty, you know, being honest about how you're seeing things. And like, perhaps it just sounds cosmic because we're dealing with something that is cosmic, that is so deeply meaningful and mysterious that if you try to put truthful language on top of it, that's just how it sounds, you know? And actually that's a good segue into the answer to your question, because I mean, the thing that most excites me is, pursuing clarity and truth in my broader life, you know, and doing all the things that I do in my lifestyle and with my relationships and that kind of stuff that allows me to, and you know, you never know if you're doing this properly, but the pursuit of greater seeing with greater clarity, right? Seeing with a more truthful lens, determining, you know, we all see with a certain perspective, right? And then we act based on that perspective. Like, and as we were saying before about religion and philosophy and that kind of stuff, like, well, what is the most valid perspective to have as a human being in this life? You know, it's certainly not, I think we'd all agree that, you know, the perspective of the state is always right and do what they say and trust big business and all this shit that's manifested in the last 2 years. Well, that's probably not the optimized perspective for a human being in this life and in this reality. So what is? And, you know, pursuing experiences and practices and a lifestyle that allows me to explore and investigate and try to inch closer toward an answer to that question, or at least improve the quality of the questions over time, is what excites me the most, you know? And as you said, like most of the time these days that lands on Bitcoin, because Bitcoin is such a useful tool in that pursuit, among other things. And then, you know, engaging with other people that are doing the same. I mean, there's few things I value more in life than relationships and, you know, good, honest, sincere relationships. And Bitcoin just offers us all the opportunity to establish like way more of those in our lives than we probably ever thought possible. You know, like, no, I'm not throwing shade at any of my like former best friends from high school, but the people I've met in Bitcoin over the last 2 years, like, I consider so many of them extremely close friends, you know? Like, Optimus, you know, we did the pod and then we met at 2021 last year. And like, I put you in that category, right? Like, we've had very little FaceTime together, but like we were saying before about how much you line up on things with people and how that generates such a similar perspective. I mean, that it's unavoidable that establishes a closeness with people. And so, I mean, you can construe or define wealth in many ways, and relationships is definitely one of them for me. And so, you know, I guess that's what I'm excited about, is trying to refine to the prior point about like, how do we convince people and persuade people, you know, to adopt Bitcoin? Like, the thing that excites me the most is trying to figure out how I can, you know, become what I'm most capable, or, you know, discover what my potential is in the realm that I deem most valuable or meaningful. And of course, you know, part of that is even determining what that is, because that's not such an easy question to answer. You know, we get spit out of an industrial education system when we're 18 or 23 or whatever. And, you know, a path is laid out, or presumably laid out for you. And that's what you're supposed to take. And that's what you're supposed to value. And that's what you're supposed to identify with and all that jazz. And, you know, the other side of the freedom coin, let's say you've established a type of freedom that Bitcoin permits, well, then you get, you know, that's amazing, obviously. But then you're confronted with the question, like, well, what the fuck is it that you value? What the fuck is it that you actually find meaningful? Because now you get to decide. Now you don't have to take a prearranged pathway. You don't have to go down a road that was, you know, pre-established and you were going to take just because it was certain and there was a certain, you know, you knew what to expect down that road. You know, now you're open up to pure potential. And so what is it that you should be striving to even become? And then how do you take the necessary steps to become that? And again, like, I know that sounds fairly cheesy, but it seems true to me. And so I share it with you now.
John, honestly, I was literally just thinking in my head, like, wow, I think John's talking to me exactly right now in this moment, because I just realized that, like, I've just taken that leap of faith and I'm okay with it. It's like, yo, I'm flying, guys. Like, I'm a Bitcoiner. Like, there's no falling here. Like, we're good to go. So, John, beautiful. John, man.
Yo, can I ask you a question then?
Sure.
If it's not too personal, but like, totally outside of Bitcoin.
Yeah.
On a daily, weekly, monthly basis, your worldly actions, workouts, surfing, mountain climbing, other than racking your brain around Bitcoin and interacting with people on this metric, what else do you really, are you really into? Like, what do you occupy your time with when you aren't obsessing over Bitcoin?
All right. Well, I mean, that removes writing, which I've been trying to do. That removes writing, which I've been trying to do more lately and can at times be super time consuming. But I don't know, man. I mean, like, I guess I'll give you like a standard day, but like, I wake up and, you know, 3 days a week it's jujitsu, 1 day a week it's Muay Thai, 1 day a week it's yoga. Sometimes there's some.
All right, that's very interesting. See, that's what I was curious. Like, you're very physical. You're not sitting around.
No. Like, and that's part of the clarity aspect, right? Like, yeah. I gotta do, you know, but basically I need to wake up and really sweat and work hard, and then I need to spend time in nature in the sunlight. So I live on a beach right now, so I can get out in the ocean and get some sunlight and get some fresh water and all that jazz. And then I, you know, I don't have any carbs or sugar until late afternoon, because protein and fat seems to be what delivers to me the kind of mental state that I'm looking for. And you know, I spend time with, you know, my girl who I love, and then I do a lot of reading of various topics, and then I'll, you know, I'll do some quote unquote work like podcasting, and I'll do some writing, and that's basically it, man. I mean, I'm trying to.
Yeah, but you've got a serious physical part of your day very regularly, it sounds like.
Oh,
and
definitely.
I know Optimus and Winekiss are down surfing right now, you know, getting physical. I was surfing today. Many of you know that's my thing. And it really does recharge you, make you feel good. Of course, the whole diet thing, you know, restricting what you eat, when you eat, those kind of things. A lot of people don't tune into that. That's another thing that I care a lot about. You know, you get a little older, especially like I'm older than all you guys. You start thinking about like, okay, I really want to make the most of these the rest of the time I got here. And I want to see as much of it as possible. You really change your time preference and you rearrange what you got to do with your days. And it sounds like you're pretty, you know, you seem pretty well balanced and you come across that way. So it sounds good. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, I totally agree. And just the last point on that, for me, like, it really switched when two things. One, when I started optimizing for the state of mind that I wanted, not longevity and not, you know, muscle mass and not leanness or any of that stuff. Like, what are the things I can do on a daily basis that put me in the frame of mind that's most optimized for the pursuit or the aim that I'm engaging with? And as we've been discussing, part of that is trying to, you know, for lack of a more specific term, see with greater clarity, you know, perceive and engage truth, you know, on a more optimized way. And it just so happens that by virtue of that being the goal rather than anything else, like, the actions taken to foster that seem to produce a body that is, at least as far as I'm concerned, perfectly acceptable, right? It may not be like the most fit, the most jacked or whatever, but it seems like optimizing for the state of mind you want just delivers a body that's able to, you know, carry out those ends. Or, you know, it's downstream of optimizing the mind, the body is optimized. And that also makes it way easier, because by virtue of the fact that I really desire the state of mind, the action I need to take to get there, let's say like doing some form of exercise, is not something that requires discipline for me, because I'm like, I'm running towards it. It's something that I desperately want. And so, you know, none of my, you know, physical or lifestyle components like diet and exercise and that stuff require any discipline, because it's, I desire the state that it delivers, and even the process that delivers the state becomes enjoyable for that reason, or something like that, if that makes any sense.
Made sense to me, John. Made sense to me. one thought that I had recently, so like, I personally wasn't, you know, taking the best care of myself for a long time. And then again, you know, as Bitcoin does, it changes your life. And one of the things that really stuck to me was the idea that, look, if you believe in Bitcoin the way that you say you do, if you think that Bitcoin is the best money and hyper Bitcoinization is an inevitability, and you are holding these Bitcoins to usher them in for generational wealth, as we like to say, then it like, I had this moment where I was like, wow, and look at me not taking care of my body, the vessel that will let me get to that point.
And just that very thought of like, wow, look, like I need to take care of my body better just so I can usher in my Bitcoin properly. Like, you know, Bitcoin doesn't, you don't change Bitcoin. It changes you. So I fully, like, it made sense to me, John, 100%.
Good.
And just on that note, we got this great comment by our buddy Zorn in the YouTube chat. And I don't know if you even have to comment on this, John, but this is definitely has to make it on air. And Zorn goes, Bitcoin is the transfiguration of subjective value to objective value through unadulterated price signal.
Whew. Yep.
Zorn with the heat.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Beautiful. Well, Shishi, Hobo, do you guys have some questions? Comments? The only speakers up here. Guys, if you guys have some questions,
we got a question.
We can bring you back up.
I got a question.
There you go. Shoot it, Shishi.
John, do you feel more motivated to stack when the price goes down? And do you do anything differently? Like, do you get up in the morning and say, how do I make a little bit more money this month? Or, you know, like, how does it motivate you to feel that, you know, your time is more valued by the world in this moment?
To be honest, it doesn't. I'm not good with dry powder. Like, if I have it, it's going into Bitcoin, you know? And so usually when there's dips, I don't have a lot of dry powder available. But no, it doesn't motivate me, to be honest. Like, because I guess we all have to figure out, like, to what extent are you going to obsess about stacking? And look, I mean, for two reasons. One, for your own future, but also for this budding parallel economy that we're building. I mean, if you're dealing with a pristine money, incorruptible money like Bitcoin, I mean, the very act of stacking means that you're providing, you know, a commensurate value to the Satoshis that you're receiving to the market. And if you're responding to those signals, I mean, I think that is like good definitionally, right? And so I think it's a great way to determine or orient one's actions. But for me, like, but the I guess the other side of that coin is like, well, how obsessed do you want to be with stacking? And I guess we all have to answer that question for ourselves. I've kind of found my peace with it. And, you know, I stack based on, you know, the income that I have. And otherwise, like, if I can't stack, I focus on stacking up those things that we were discussing earlier, like all the other things that, well, one, I value also, in addition to stacking sats, you know, like refining myself in order to actualize myself optimally and see with greater clarity and that kind of stuff, but also put myself in a greater position to both be and see and provide value in the future, you know? And so maybe I do things today that don't have a direct, you know, compensation attached to it, but that doesn't mean that, you know, the seeds I'm planting today, whatever it is I'm doing, won't net benefits in the future, whether it be 6 months or a year or 2 years or 10 years or whatever, you know. And I think it's a bit different in this, like, part of the S curve we're on in Bitcoin, like, because it hasn't been fully distributed yet, like, there's far more of a intensity around stacking. But I kind of think about, like, these great artists, Renaissance era, right? Like, you think of Michelangelo, for example, or Da Vinci or whatever, like, they would undertake, and I know the financing of them was different in different cases. Like, sometimes they had sponsors or patrons and they're paid before and all this jazz. But as a general principle, it's like, in a market like that, if you commit yourself to creating value, like, I think we'll end up seeing much longer term projects, right? It's not like you hit a startup and you have a crazy burn rate and you got to make bank immediately. Like, someone might undertake like a 10-year enterprise and be paid nothing for those 10 years and just be scraping by. But what the result of that work is something of immense value that the market is more than happy to compensate them for. And that compensation more than makes up for the 10 years of missing compensation that were required to get there. Now, again, like, that pressure is different when, you know, the purchasing power of Bitcoin is not going exponential and it's normalized to some degree. But no, the simple answer is it doesn't motivate me that much to stack more. It just motivates me to stop being apathetic or stop putting things off and continue the process of refining myself so that I can provide and be of more value in the future.
That's awesome, man. And I definitely think that being a Bitcoiner, I think it really matters that you have some longer term projects that could really pay off, like whether that be building soil or, you know, writing,
exactly.
Or building your, you know, your knowledge base. I think there's so many things you could do over a decade, right? And there's like that famous quote, like, I forgot how it goes, but I just know that I'm pretty shocked every time I look back at every year I've been a Bitcoiner and been like, damn, I got a lot done this year.
Right.
Like, you know,
I think it's a quote, like, people underestimate or overestimate what they can do in a year, or underestimate what they can do in 10 years or a lifetime or something like that. And
yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. And I think maybe while we're in this part of the S curve, it's going to be hard to kind of have a different mentality or approach to it. But I do think once things normalize, like, it will be very commonplace for people to undertake great works, as it were, with very little immediate compensation. You know, they'll delay gratification. They'll have an extremely low time preference because they'll know that if they're really committing themselves to something of value, then it will be rewarded when the time comes. And, you know, soil and farming is another great example of something like that.
Yeah. And John, I have one more controversial question, not to cut the hobo off who's had his hand raised, but so I was listening to Jordan Peterson's talk at the Bitcoin conference, and I was sitting there and I couldn't help but absolutely hate everything that came out of his mouth. Basically, I just thought it was too, I mean, that's just my opinion, you know, I felt like it was like chalk, like a, you know, screeching chalkboard, but what are your thoughts? Since you spoke with him, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I understand where you're coming from. I think, and I wonder why that is sometimes. And I think, you know, maybe I'm just hoping for too much too soon with Jordan. Like, there's so much about his intellect and his work that I respect. You know, Maps of Meaning in particular was such a influential book for me. And so, you know, I have a tremendous amount of respect for him, but he's just not fully there on.
I think I lost you, John. Am I the only one?
No, I was wondering if it was just me too. I didn't hear anything.
Oh, okay. John, can you hear us?
Now we're back, I think.
I still don't hear him.
Yeah, I thought my phone overheated or something.
The whole time, all I think about is, what would Satoshi do?
Might have got a phone call.
So deep. So deep, bro.
So deep, they had to cut off the signal. Wow. They booted him, guys. They booted him from the spaces. He was giving you too much sauce. And he didn't say regarded. Now you guys know.
Too much sauce.
Hold on, guys. He just got booted. Let me see if I can add him back. Let's see what's going on here. It's not a kindergarten show if there isn't issues.
Are we supposed to complain to Elon now?
Yeah, who do we complain to, guys?
Technical difficulties are part of the show.
They're on brand.
Feature not bug.
Dude, how many funny complaints must he get now? Elon, could you please, now that you've taken over Twitter? I need to speak to Twitter's manager. I'm pretty sure it's Elon Musk.
Labra, we do not need to restart the grinder settings. That is just your app, sir. I don't know what happened, guys. John got booted from Twitter Spaces. So
the grinder API never goes down. The grinder API never goes down.
Exactly.
Bitcoin never dies.
So wow. Dude, guys. Can you believe how much signal John just gave us and then Twitter Spaces just booted him? There's no such thing as coincidences. They don't want to see you win. Wow. All right. Well, we can hang out for a little bit. Maybe John will come back in. Maybe his phone died or something. But, man, this is definitely going to be a re-listen. Actually, why don't we pass some time, read the ZBD comment, Winikus.
All right. We're reading the ZBD
tips. Oh, there he is. There he is. Let's go.
You should read the ZBD tips and Jordan Peterson.
All right, let me see what's going on. Sometimes it takes a second. Taking a little time.
Guess we're not reading the ZBD tips.
John, are you back?
Yo, power outage.
Giving too much signal, too much sauce. Twitter had to kick you off.
The benefits of living near a beach. I don't know how much of that you guys heard, but basically I feel you, what you're saying about Peterson. And so I just think, you know, maybe we're expecting too much of him too soon, and he's not there yet. But also, he's such an in-demand speaker, and for a good reason. But I sometimes maybe it causes him to be more verbose than he needs to be on certain things. And so, you know, I feel you. And I thought the one with Rob was better, but, you know, still some of that going on. But I think he'll get there. And when he does, it's going to be very interesting to hear his insights on everything.
Beautiful. Hobo, do you still have a question?
No, I just want to rip it.
Go for it.
All right.
We do have a question from our favorite pet, Labrahoddle. He's asking if you're excited for the 100K party. And I know that also the Meme Factory is planning the Bitcoin halving party too. So I don't know which one's going to come first.
Yeah, good question. I'm pretty fucking stoked for the 100K party. Yes. I mean, I don't know when it's going to be, but you know, what's better than hanging out with all your Bitcoin homies at a big mansion and a big yacht? I mean, it's pretty much the, you know, you couldn't really think of a better party, could you? So I'm pumped.
I was reflecting the other day, and I don't know, in my head, I feel like I'm never going to spend Bitcoin and live this like decentralized homeless lifestyle. So when you see like a 100K Bitcoin price, what impact do you think that will have on your life? Like, do you think it will actually change anything?
No, I don't think it'll change my life very much at all. Like, I feel like for a while I've had my life like pared down to the essentials, like what I need to live the life I want to live, and with very little like extraneous or additional or, you know, non-essential or non-valuable stuff in it. And so I don't think the purchasing power of the Bitcoin stack is going to make any material difference for a long time, but you know, we can still celebrate the milestones along the way.
Yeah.
Sounds like a holiday, like a religious, like a religious calendar holiday.
Wow.
John. It's definitely a religious calendar holiday for sure. 100K. It's also a go fuck yourself, I told you so holiday. and that's what I was going to ask you. So yeah, like maybe your life won't change, but maybe the people around you will, which is an interesting thought.
Yeah, most of them have. Well, first of all, I'm not around, like I haven't lived at home for a long time. So I don't know what like those high school friends that I referred to before, what they really think, but at least my nuclear family, like my mom and dad, my sisters, like I don't think I'm a crazy person. I don't know if I was ever considered crazy in their eyes, because I think I could always out rationalize and out logic all of them. But I think, you know, the success of Bitcoin is becoming increasingly obvious, and even the drawdowns. I mean, my sisters hit me up now and they're like, fuck, I'm looking for dry powder, I can't find any. And my dad is sending me the same shit. And even my mom, like, she was the longest holdout, because she's the most, like, I love her to death, but she's the most normie amongst the family members, and, you know, still listens to the nightly news and all that shit. And even her now, like, she's stacking and she gets it and she's concerned about what's happening. And she's a big fan of Michael Saylor. And it's so funny. Like, I did a second one with Saylor last December, I think December 2021. And mom, like, the first one with him, she didn't really like, because she thought he was a bit too like oddball, flamboyant, like esoteric, whatever, a bit too loosey-goosey for her likings. And then the second one, you know, he said a year in Bitcoin maybe to mature or whatever. And I don't know, he was just more kind of reserved. And she really liked that one. And afterwards she was like, not only did I like it, but I hope you realize that at many points in that discussion, Michael was sending you a message, John. He was trying to give you some advice. So I hope you listen to it back and you take that advice to heart and shit. And it was the cutest thing in the world to have her, you know, have listened to it and say that, but more importantly, start to turn the corner on being a Bitcoiner. And, you know, I invited her to the conference in April with my dad, and she declined, and my dad came, and it was awesome to have him there. But after seeing all the pictures and all that jazz, she was like, well, if you go next year and, you know, the invite's still on the table, then I'll go. So it's I don't know if I'll have many I told you so's. I guess that's a long-winded way of saying I probably won't have many people to in whose eyes I'll have changed that much when we hit 100K.
I have enough of those for both of us.
Good.
Hey, John, as you know, this is a very left bell curve type show, and we do cater to the highly regarded audience. So, I mean, me personally, I listen to your podcast definitely more than other Bitcoin ones. And I think it's because you're so articulate and you have a very clear way of explaining certain ideas. So this is kind of like a question to help onboard the highly regarded into John Vallis 101. What are some of your favorite big words that we can use?
I've gotten feedback that I use the word instantiate a little bit too much, and I probably got that from Peterson.
What is that?
Gelation.
Instantiate? What does it mean?
Yeah.
I mean, my understanding is that it means like something is imbued into something, like something is injected or represented in something else. You know, so again, like that's why I often use it, because I say the principles or the values of truth and freedom are very much instantiated in Bitcoin, but, you know, maybe represented in or characterized are more appropriate words to use. Who knows? But that's the only big word I can think of off the top of my head.
All right. I mean, yeah, you just said a lot of big words, so I'm definitely gonna have to re-listen and take notes. But Optimus and I were also brainstorming here, and we're like looking at all these shitcoin founders that have like a lot of liquidity and all this stuff. We're like, how the hell are these guys like pulling this off? You know, like it's basically a Ponzi scheme. So Bitcoin in a way is, it's just a lot more moral. Like, I don't know, do you have any like moral Ponzi schemes that you could think of that maybe like Bitcoin Kindergarten can run? Because like we're self-funded bootstrap podcasts, and we're just operating off our cell phones here. So I don't know, maybe if you want to brainstorm and give us some ideas.
I mean, I wish I could, but the only way, you know, the right way to do it is see the truth, speak the truth, discover value, provide value, and value will accrue back to you in a commensurate amount. And that's the way to do it. You know, the people that you referenced, two things are going on. They're being dishonest and unethical and failing to align with what I think many of us would agree are the most important values and principles. And there's a lot of highly regarded people out there that, and to be fair to those highly regarded people, a lot of people are in desperate situations and they desperately want out of those situations. And so when someone who looks like they know what they're talking about and they look like they're honest and they look smart and everything looks like it's the next big thing or it's a great opportunity, even so many of them know that it can't possibly be true, but they're so desperate. They want out of their situation so bad. They want that hope. They want more optionality. They want to believe that the future can be different for them or their families or what have you. They want access to those things they always see on the TV. And they go for it as a result of that. And typically it ends up in tears. And this is why, you know, maxis are the way they are with so many people, because a little tough love up front can save you a lot of anguish in the long run.
Got it. So seek the truth. I'm thinking Optimus and I start Truth Coin or something. Is this something
that's exactly what I was talking about. That you got it. That's it.
Yeah, but
that's what you got to do.
In the meantime, Bitcoin will be the truth coin for all of us.
Can I get in? Can I get in like an early distribution or something like that?
We're gonna 70% pre-mine it, John.
You have to talk about it.
You can be a founding father. You gotta shill it
on your pod. That's really it. Baby.
There's going to be a stable coin backed by merch also, John. I already see it. It's going to be the most stablest of stable coins.
So down.
The most stable, truthful coin to exist.
Peg to
all
merch.
Backed by merch. All backed by merch. First time ever.
All right, John. Man. We love you, bro. Before we start trolling you out for the next 30 minutes to an hour. No, we'll wrap this one up early. I'm interested, what are you reading right now so that the plebs out there can get on John Ballas' level, so the next time we hear you talk, it doesn't sound as cosmic and we're like, yep, this is just plain English.
I'm reading 3 books right now, I think. Actually, maybe 4. I'm reading the Bible right now because I haven't read it cover to cover yet. I'm reading the Quran simultaneous to that. I'm reading Orations on the Dignity of Man by, I think, Giovanni Pico. Maybe I got the first word wrong, but he was a Renaissance era theologian or philosopher. Hold on now, let me see.
When you're reading the Bible simultaneously with the Quran, are you like reading them like where they're like correlated in history, or just
no, just both, like reading, picking them up both at different times. And then I just finished the autobiography of Benjamin Franklin, which I thought was great.
Well, John, I will speak for all the left bell curves of Bitcoin Kindergarten and pretty much say that I doubt anyone will read any of that. But I will look into this because it's going to blow my mind.
I can look at the cliff notes. Quran cliff notes.
Yeah. So it was Oration on the Dignity of Man by Giovanni Pico della Mirandola. There you go.
Beautiful.
I got one more question for you, John, just because we're a big fan of memes on this show. So we want to know, what is your favorite Bitcoin meme?
Oof, that is tough. Well, I mean, I think the best meme possibly of all time is Stay Humble, Stack Sats, you know, even though that's just words and not like a visual meme. But I think that's got to be like at the top of the list for me. I love the one with Morpheus and Neo, you know, the one where like, are you telling me someday I can buy a Bitcoin, will buy me a million, be worth $1 million or something like that. And, you know, he says, no, I'm telling you, whatever, when Bitcoin's money, you won't have to convert it to fiat or something. I think that's always been a favorite. I'm sure there's several more. I just can't think of them right now. So yeah, I guess that's the answer.
That's good enough, bro. John, this has been a pleasure, bro. I'm sure we can troll you out all night, but you said you've had a heavy day. So, man, how about you just tell people where to find you, and we'll wrap this one up with our ZBD tips and comments. And actually, John, never mind. Let's do the comments first, and then we'll roll out with your show. So, Winikus, let's go.
All right. Our ZBT tips, ship posting as a service, brought to you by Labra HODL. The first tip was, let's get cosmic yeet. And the next tip was, I like money.
I like money.
The next tip was, John's based.
True.
We got a 500 sat tip by our favorite pet Labra HODL for horkers and pupusas. We got a 1337 leet tip saying, plebs together strong. We got a GMGFY. Somebody said, John is too smart for this show.
And another one. This is highly regarded signal. And last but not least, dip class for a dip day.
Woo! That's called motherfucking bars.
Let's go. All right, all right. John, where can the people find you? What do you want to shill? This is the moment.
Party. I got nothing to shill, and if people want to find me, that it's easy thing to do. But I do think the back to the meme question, you gotta put Leota Laser Eyes up like at the top of that too. Like the Leota Laser Eye GIF. Like it just never gets old. It's appropriate so often. So I think those are the three answers to the meme thing. And nothing to shill. I fucking love you guys. I love hanging out. And thanks for having me on. This is dope.
No, thank you, John. Guys, he won't shill, but I'll shill for him. Go follow his Twitter at John K. Vallis. Go listen to Rapid Fire Bitcoin Podcast. Go read everything John will write or has wrote. It's going to blow your gourd, guys. This guy's the real deal. He's definitely one of my favorite people to listen to, one of my favorite people to talk to in Bitcoin, because he always blows my mind. So, John, thank you for coming. Everyone in the spaces that's hanging out with us, thank you guys for hanging out. We do this every Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern time. And to everyone on YouTube, thank you guys. We appreciate it. Keep trolling us in the comments. Keep doing shitposting as a service. We will continue to be here every Wednesday as long as blocks are coming in. So that means forever, basically, guys. You're stuck with us. It's not us that are stuck with you. You're stuck with us.
Buy Truth Coin.
Do not buy Truth Coin, even if Winikus makes it. All right, guys. We love you. This was a short but cosmic trip around the block. And guys, we love you. We're not going to hang out in spaces tonight because we're at Bitcoin Beach. So next week, guys.